followers of Jesus are called to be salt and light in a decaying and dark world.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
You know, it's interesting. Rachel said the name of this company where it was Salt and Light. And I thought, well, interesting. I guess I know now why the Lord put salt and light on my heart today for the message here today. But I just want to touch briefly on some thoughts about that salt and light in the scripture. I want to start off by asking a question, though. Do you think that I would ever do something foolish, even though I was told not to? Does anyone think I might ever do that? All right. Do you think I would do something dumb just to find out for myself whether or not it's a dumb thing to do? You think I might do that? Well, I want to tell you, I learned a lot of interesting things on that wonderful trip to Israel you gave me a few years ago. And one of those interesting things was discovering firsthand just how salty the Dead Sea really is. It's about 34% salt, which is about 10 times saltier than the ocean. And yes, it's true, you will float in it. And of course, they had warned us all not to taste the water. And in fact, even there are warning signs posted saying that it could be fatal, and it could. Warning you, it could take you to the hospital and get your stomach pumped and that. So I wonder, do you think I had to find out for myself just how salty the Dead Sea is? Of course I did. Come on, you'd be disappointed had I not, right? I was not going to pass up that opportunity. But you'll be glad to know I didn't like take a big drink of it. I wasn't quite that dumb or foolish. But what I did is I just put my finger and just put it on the end of my tongue there. And I have to tell you, wow, it's really salty. How salty is it? It's this. You know, I put it on the end of my tongue, and it was just like for the first moment there, it was just like, wow, that's about the saltiest salt I think I have ever tasted in my life. And if it had just ended there, it'd be all right. But you know, it didn't. Because what happens is you get that initial salt burst then, but then it starts to burn. You know, it gets like really, really bitter and burn. And then you realize, uh-oh, and it's getting worse and worse. And I'm thinking, oh, no. But then eventually it starts to go away. You know, and really, but it stayed with me for a couple of days after I was still tasting that on my tongue. So that's how bad. So it is indeed quite salty. And I want you to know the ocean is salty as well. I can personally testify that the Atlantic, the Pacific, the Gulf of Mexico, and the Mediterranean Sea are all pretty salty. How do you think I know that? Okay, who here thinks I just might need some professional help? Yeah, all right, so, all right. Yeah. So again, you might be wondering, well, what does this have to do with our message today? Well, as I said, Jesus had something to say about salt and the believer, about salt and light in Matthew chapter 5. But before we look at that passage there, I'd like us to first consider this question here. What is the mission of the church? What job has Jesus given his church to do in the world? Well, I could tell you, I could summarize it with two words. Who knows? What do you think those two words are? What is the mission? What's the job we have in two words is to do what? To
make disciples.
Make disciples. Excellent. Make disciples. So one Bible teacher then was commenting on this mission, and he had this to say then about the church, what the church is and what the mission of the church is then. He said that the church is a sign and instrument of the kingdom of God, that it is a people united by faith in the gospel announcement of the crucified and risen King Jesus. And goes on to say of this mission then, he says, the mission of the church is to go into the world in the power of the Spirit and make disciples by proclaiming this gospel, calling people to respond in ongoing repentance and faith, and demonstrating the truth and power of the gospel by living under the lordship of Christ for the glory of God and the good of the world. Isn't that a great way? It's make disciples very simply. But there you see what? There's that gospel proclamation. There's that living in reliance upon the Spirit's power. There's ongoing repentance and faith. Christian life isn't one-time repentance and faith, isn't it? It's a daily, ongoing repentance and faith. And it's also then demonstrating the truth of the gospel as we submit to the lordship, the rule of God, the rule of Christ over our lives. And it's done then for the glory of God and for the good of the world, that living under the lordship of Jesus then ought to be making a difference in our world. Which brings us to this topic then today of salt and light. That we're called to be salty salt and shining light. Salty salt, that followers of Jesus are salt and light in a decaying and dark world. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. First, a little context here. This is in Matthew's gospel early in Jesus' ministry. And this is his first major public teaching. And we call this passage from Matthew 5 to 7, the Sermon on the Mount. And it asks there, the question of the sermon that the Sermon on the Mount addresses here is, how are we to live as followers of Jesus? How does God want you and me to live as followers of Jesus? And he starts off then in Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12 there with the Beatitudes. That is, these are the heart attitudes that he wants us to have. Heart attitudes like what? Being poor in spirit, mourning over our sin, being meek, hungering for and thirsty for righteousness, being merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers. That these are the attitudes we are to have then. So if these are the attitudes we are to have, how then shall we live? How then shall we live? Well, let's find out. Jesus tells us, Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We're called to be salt. We are salt and we are light. But are we living as salty salt and a shining light? That's the question, isn't it? We want to be salty salt, not worthless salt. We want to be shining light, not hidden light. So let's think about this salty salt. Why did Jesus say that his followers are the salt of the earth? What did he mean by that? Well, if we look at what salt is, what functions it had, we know that salt has a number of characteristics or functions that could be in view here. First off is that it is a preservative agent. It was used to help or hinder the spread of corruption, to keep food from spoiling. So you'd put the salt in to keep at bay the spread of corruption or rottenness. Salt also, though, enhances flavor. I know we've got to be careful about putting too much salt on things, right? But just a little dash of salt, doesn't that really bring out the flavor of something? Salt also increases thirst, doesn't it? Which is why, by the way, I'm told at certain establishments, there are like things that, like little bowls of pretzels or things like that. Why? Not to just be a convenience to you because you're hungry, but to do what? To create more thirst, so you order more drinks, right? So, you know what? Followers of Jesus, then, who are living out these attitudes of the Beatitudes, will serve these purposes, hindering the spread of corruption or rottenness, enhancing the flavor of life, creating a thirst in people for God, for Christ. I think there's merit to consider in each of those purposes of salt here. But that said, I think, though, that Jesus was really driving at, the main point that he was really driving at, is this function or purpose of salt as a preservative that helps to keep corruption or rottenness at bay. There's a lot of corruption and rottenness in this world, isn't there? So I think Jesus is saying is that when we as his followers are walking in the light, walking in faith and obedience to Him, our lives, our testimony, what we do, what we say, is going to have the effect of helping to keep the rottenness and the corruption of the sinful world at bay. Now, it's not going to eliminate it, not going to eradicate it, is it? But going to help keep it at bay and keep it from spreading. So followers of Jesus, then, who are faithfully following His commandments in thought, in word, in deed, will help to limit the spread of rottenness, of sin and corruption in the world. That's salty salt, salt that's doing its job. But Jesus also there talks about some worthless salt. He says, "What? But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored?" That is, if the salt loses its taste, its effectiveness, then it becomes worthless. Now, the truth is that pure salt cannot lose its taste or effectiveness. So what's Jesus saying? Well, pure salt can't lose its taste or effectiveness, but impure salt can. You see, salt that gets mixed in with other stuff, with impurities, with other minerals, that does lose its effectiveness, its taste, if you will. You see, the salt that the people in Jesus' day used, where do you suppose that salt came from? Where did they get their salt? From the Dead Sea, just like in Israel they still do today. But with that salt from the Dead Sea, it wasn't pure salt. There were a lot of impurities and minerals and things mixed in with it so that it would become, over time, lose its effectiveness. Why? Because it isn't pure. It's mixed in with other stuff. And so what happens? And so Jesus says, well, if it loses its... It's not going to arrest the corruption anymore. In fact, it's worthless for that. So what do you do? So he says, well, so men take it and they throw it out and it gets trampled under by men's feet. What does he mean by that? It's nothing good for nothing except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. So what would happen is once the salt became ineffective, they would take it and they would toss it onto the pathways that people would walk on. Why? Because it would still have just enough in it that it would kill the vegetation to help keep the pathway clear. So what's Jesus talking about? Is he talking about literal salt and literal throwing out? No, what's he saying? He says his followers are like the salt that helps spread or prevent the spread of corruption in the world. But when you lose that, then it becomes worthless. It doesn't serve that case. It doesn't serve that purpose anymore. So how do we lose our taste? How do we lose our saltiness? Well, through sinful behavior, immoral behavior, by mixing impurities into our lives. By mixing the impurities of sin into our lives, we can lose our taste. Now, let's be clear here. No one is sinlessly perfect this side of heaven, are we? We're not going to be sinlessly perfect this side of heaven. But we are called, though, to a life of discipleship, of walking with Christ, of growing, increasing in faith and obedience to His Word. And that's a salty life. That's salty salt. So Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. And then He also says that you are light. We're to be a shining light. In Isaiah chapter 42, the Messiah's mission and character is described. In Isaiah 42:6, He is described as being a light to the nations. And so when Jesus stands up in John chapter 8, verse 12, and says, I am the light of the world, He is fulfilling Scripture there, as well as announcing who He is and what is His purpose, what one of His purposes is. What does the light do? The light shines in the darkness of the world. The light exposes the error and the corruption of darkness, and it points the way toward truth and life. And so, as followers of Jesus, then, we are not the light. He is the light, but we are the light in what sense? As we reflect and proclaim the light, Jesus, who is the light, we are the light reflecting the light. Philippians 2, verse 15, talks about how believers, how you are, you shine as lights in the world. Believe me, it's not my light that's shining. It isn't our light that's shining. It's what? It's the light of Jesus, though, that shines in us and through us. So we're to be shining light. City set on a hill is not going to turn off the light. Say, turn on a light in the house. You're not going to put a basket over it. Or turn on a light. You're not going to put a basket over it. Are you? You want that light to shine into the darkness. It's defeating its purpose to hide the light. So let's not be hidden light. We don't want to be tasteless salt, and we don't want to be hidden light. We must not hide or conceal the light of Christ. And how do we do this? How do we conceal the light of Christ in our lives? I like this little note. The Life Application Study Bible had this little note on this passage that I liked here. It said, how do we hide or conceal the light of Christ? Gives some suggestions. One is by being quiet when we should speak. By being quiet when we should speak. By going along with the crowd. Boy, is there a pressure or a temptation now for the church to go along with the crowd? There always has been. But now in our society, especially with changing ethics and mores about sexual morality, the church is looking more like the world and less like what Jesus calls us to. Being quiet when we should speak, going along with the crowd, denying the light. Denying the light. We're not going to, believe me, I'd love to go off on some things right here, but we're just going to stay right here for now, all right? Denying the light, letting sin dim our light, not explaining the light to others, or by ignoring the needs of others. So the reasons why I chose this passage, and I see now God had another reason for it, but I was thinking, as I knew Rachel and Isabel were going to be back, and they were going to be speaking about what they did in Haiti there, and I thought, there's a good example of being salt and light. Being quiet when we should speak, going along with the crowd, denying the light, letting sin dim our light, not explaining the light to others, ignoring the needs of others. And you know what? The Word tells us that God is honored then. God is honored when people see the light of Jesus in us through our deeds. The glory doesn't go to you or me. The glory then goes to God. Well, so what? What do you want me to do with this? Take us where we started and just remind us that followers of Jesus are called to be salt and light in a decaying and dark world. Salty salt and shining light. Not tasteless salt. Not hidden light. Salty salt, shining light in a decaying and dark world. So I'd ask you, are you salty salt? How are we salty salt? Well, not by being sinlessly perfect, because none of us are, but by dealing with sin in our lives, not letting it take hold, dominate our lives, confessing, repenting, walking in faith and obedience to the Word of God. That's being salty salt. And is your light shining then? Is your light shining? How does our light shine? By speaking up. By maintaining biblical standards of righteousness. By doing good works that God has prepared for us even before the foundation of the world, that we should walk in them. This is how the light shines. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for this challenge from your Word here today. We confess, Lord, that there have been times in our life when our salt has become tasteless. And Lord, we don't want to be worthless salt. We want to be salty salt. So Lord, we confess, we admit that we have indulged sin in our lives at times. But Lord, we repent, we turn away from that. And it's our desire to honor you, to honor your Word. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and your patience and your kindness. Lord, may we shine like a city on a hill. May we not put a basket over the light in our lives. May we not be quiet when we should speak. May we uphold standards of righteousness your word declares. May we speak the truth in love. And we ask, Lord, that your Spirit would empower us to do all of these things, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.